So I went to Brother Andrew and Sister Brittany, and I asked him, I told him I just felt something special going on in my son's life and Kyle's life, and I just felt like the Lord was really dealing with Kyle. And I told those guys, I said, buckle up, get ready, because you guys, he's going to need you guys if he comes in, you know. And so then, long story short, he had called me, and I told you all that he just almost went into the military, and the 2 days before he was going to go sign up for the military, he hurt his arm really bad. Well, he didn't join the military. I think he kind of got a fear about joining, and he didn't. Well, anyway, long story short, things kept going on. Well, he called me one day, and he said, Mom, I don't know what to do. He said, I literally have to pick and choose what, he finally got a job as a security guy, and he said, I literally have to pick and choose what bills to pay. Well, he's been raised different than that, and so he was struggling along and just having a really, really hard time. Well, as a parent, your heart just aches for your children. But I've always been taught you don't bail your children out of something that God could have his hands on. And so I was wise enough to know not to touch it. But at the same time, again, being a parent, your heart goes out to them. Well, the only thing that Tommy and I knew to do to see if God would kind of help him was we signed him up for this Zija, this stuff that Brother Smith has told us all about, and, you know, selling vitamins and stuff. And this way, if he succeeded, if something become of it, then it would be between him and God. We wouldn't be having our hands on it. So we had signed him up for this Zija, but it being very expensive, I didn't know what to do. Well, because he works midnights and stuff and sleeps during the day, he really couldn't have any contacts. It just seemed like nothing was working out. Well, then on November 2nd, I had called Brother Smith. And I said, Brother Smith, I just feel so desperate. I said, I don't know what to do for my son, you know, but I feel God's in this. And so he said, well, here's what I want you to do. He said, I want you to pray for the next 30 days that God would bless Kyle. And he said, we'll see. He said, so far he's been brought to his knees and he hasn't turned to God. He said, let's just see. Every once in a while you hear of a situation where, you know, God will begin to bless somebody, and they'll turn their hearts back to God. He said, we don't know what God will do. Let's just see. And I said, okay. And so he said, you just pray that way for the next 30 days. Well, that very night, I get a phone call from Kyle, and he was patrolling. He was in the parking lot, and he had to patrol this old Navy store. And he just had to literally sit there all night. Well, he had called me. He said, Mom, I just feel desperate. I really don't know what to do. He said, it's 30-something degrees. I'm freezing. I don't even have enough money to keep turning my truck on to get warm. And, oh, you can imagine, as a parent, my heart just ached. And so finally I began to talk to him, and I began to tell him, I said, son, it's because you're away from God. You're not being blessed. And I kept talking to him. Well, at first he got real defensive. You know, I've been offended and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, son, that don't cut it with me. I said, I almost think that's a requirement to be in the body, you know, to be offended. And I said, Jesus himself was offended. And I said, so that don't cut it with me. And so I kept talking. The longer I talked to him, the more I could feel his spirit begin to break. And finally, after about an hour of our conversation, I told him, I said, son, here's the deal. I said, you tell me when you want me to start praying for you that God would bless you. And I said, and then when God begins to bless you, you need to turn your life around. He said, okay. And I said, well, you just tell me. Well, then pretty soon he got real quiet, and he said, Mom, he said, I'm ready. And, oh, my heart just sank. And so he said, Mom, here's the deal. Now, he knew absolutely nothing of my conversation that very morning with Brother Smith. And he said, Mom, I'm not asking for to win the lottery. I'm not asking for great things. He said, all I am asking for, he said, is I'm asking that you would pray for me in the next 30 days that God would bless me. And he said, I'm not asking for miracles or anything. He said, the only thing I ask is if God would provide me a job making at least $12 an hour. He said, the reason I say $12 an hour is because I feel like I could get caught up on some bills and I could sustain life. And I thought, that's a very reasonable request. And he said, and if he'll move me by a body church, he said, Mom, he said, I'll bow. And my heart, you can imagine I didn't even go to sleep that night. I just wanted to shout all over the place, like, sick him, God, you know. And so anyway, he said, and I told him, I said, well, why did you pick 30 days? And he said, I don't know. He said, it just seemed like a reasonable amount of time. I said, son, not only is that a reasonable amount of time, I said, but there isn't a challenge out there that our God is not able to meet. And so you can imagine when I got off the phone him, and like I said, I didn't sleep, but the next morning, boy, I was on the phone and here at church telling everybody I could think of and different churches, pray for my son. I'd tell them the story so they'd know how to pray. Well, so then he doesn't know anybody. I'm telling everybody. So life is going on for 2 weeks. I'm praying every day, every day. And then this Tuesday, I get this phone call. I'm getting up, getting ready to go to work myself, and I get this phone call, and it's Kyle, and he just sounded just panic-stricken and just was crying. He was like, Mom, Mom, please pray for me, please, you know, and just carrying on. I said, what's wrong? Well, because he works security, and I know he's had to get in some really bad fights and stuff in the past, my first instinct was he had to kill somebody. You know, I was like, oh, my God, just panicking. And I said, what's wrong? And he said, Mom, he said his girlfriend Kim had called him, and she asked him, come get him. Her parents had gone to work, and she said, come get me, come get me. I'm in so much pain. Get me to the emergency room. So he takes her to the emergency room, and just a few minutes later, they come out and tell him she's pregnant and in labor. And he's like, he's thinking there's no way. And he's telling, no, 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 no. Well, they come back, and they said, yeah, it's your girlfriend, and she is pregnant. And Kyle's like, his first instinct was he had worked midnights all that night. He was going on 1 hour's sleep, and she works at the hospital. And both parents are RNs. Well, one's a medical assistant, and the other's an RN. The dad works right there at the hospital, and so does Kim herself. Well, anyway, so he thought she put him up to some kind of a joke, you know? And so he's like, this isn't funny. Well, anyway, they come back and a little bit later and get him and everything. Well, that's when he called me. He just was beside himself here. She's full term, you know, having this full term baby and not even knowing anything about this pregnancy. And again, like I've told different ones, I'm not asking anyone to condone sin, but he certainly needs prayer. But the reason I told this story is because here everybody's been praying for Kyle, and you don't know. God could use this very thing to bring him to his knees. And having said all that, that is the very thing that brought me to God, was I had a little four-month-old baby and suddenly just seemed overwhelmed with this baby, thinking, of course, I mean, I was just had just turned 18, and I was thinking, you know, where's the house on the hill and the barbecue pit and the, you know, everything you're supposed to see in life? But all of a sudden, this baby, and I felt so overwhelmed. And I remember just looking at that baby, thinking, if I do not raise this child right, who will? And I know these kind of thoughts have got to be going through his mind, you know. And suddenly, you see this precious thing. And so right now he's still in shock and still overwhelmed. So needless to say, I hurried and made a trip to Springfield. And I also wanted to say how appreciative I was. I called Sister Vaughn for prayer, and I called Sister Laura Derman. I thought, in my very time of need, Sister Laura calls me back and she's like, I'm going with you. I want to be right there. She didn't, you know, wasn't trying to be judgmental of our situation. She was a true sister to me. She was a friend in need. She showed every sign to me that what we're taught, the very things that we're taught, that sister showed to me. She was right there every step of the way. And you cannot, I could never thank her enough. And Brother Durham for letting her go and being there with me, because you can imagine I was just, I mean, when he told me those words, honestly, I was hearing it almost in slow motion, like, baby, labor. I could not get this in my mind. In fact, I had to get off the phone. I was just like, this is too much to absorb. So it's strange, you know, you're going from one day going to work, and the next day you're a Grammy. So Sister Laura even said, we're going to see if we can get Grammy loads together to go back to Republic. So if we sneak off sometime, please be merciful. But anyway, so I'm just so thankful. I'm thankful for this teaching. I'm thankful for my sisters and my friends in this church. I'm thankful for your prayers. And I'm asking you to please, more than ever, I've got till December 2nd for the Lord to answer this fleece. And I could easily see the hand of God in this thing. And I don't know the end. I don't know how it'll come out. But I'm just praying that that God will throw himself on the rock and not the rock crush him to powder. You know, I'm like, Sister Laura, you know, when you want your children, you know, when you're willing to watch them go through anything, I don't want to bail him out of this trial. This is his trial. But I am so thankful for this way and this people.
Got up in a while to thank the Lord for what he's done in my life lately. It's good to be home. You know, anytime you go spend time with family or the body, you feel home. But, you know, Brittany and I were laying in the bed yesterday, and we're just, man, it just feels good to be in your bed, be traveling. I know everybody's got traveling coming up, but lately I felt like, you know, we've been having some good Bible studies, and in my personal life, in my spiritual life, I felt kind of like the natural weather that has been taking place in Arkansas, this big drought. And I feel like a little seed today when Brother Smith got up and was talking, and felt like I got a little water today, and I felt a little arm reach out a little bit, because I got some steps. I got some things that really kind of I needed. I just wanted to get up and thank the Lord for being able to show us that first step that we all need to take. Of really, it's if we look back in First Peter, he was saying first step is adding virtue to what? Adding it to faith. The first step is the hardest step, I think, is faith. For each one of us to even get here, we had to have faith that God was going to intervene in our life. There it is. First Peter 1:5. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and virtue to your, and adding to virtue knowledge. And it, like I said, you know, it's that first step that was the hardest even for me. Like it's going to be for Sister Oates' son Kyle, it's going to have that faith again. You know, a lot of times we can say, you know, like Brother Smith was saying earlier, you know, God's, you know, I need this right now, and if only I could just get here. And yeah, I'm gonna come to church. But really, what if we add a couple? We can add words to faith. Faithful. Am I faithful to my wife? Am I faithful to myself? That's kind of a deep thought. Am I faithful to myself? Am I consistent? You know, certain habits in your life. To be faithful to anything, I have to be consistent. I can't just show up to work whenever I feel like showing up to work. I'm not going to have a job for very much longer. They're going to take my security privileges away. It's not going to work. I'm not going to be able to get in that parking deck at Blue Cross. But same thing with here is God could not edify me or lift me up into a high place of spirituality unless I was faithful. Each person here, you know, I look up to, even though Brother Crow may not know, I look up to Brother Crow because he is always here. He paved the path for me to be in this church, just like Brother Weiniger and Brother Brett Weiniger and several others that I couldn't, my faith couldn't be built unless other people were faithful. And people aren't going to be able to come in unless I'm faithful. My kids won't be able to be faithful unless they see it in me, just like I saw it in my dad and my grandpa. So no matter, I just want to get up and really just encourage everybody that even though, you know, you may think that you're doing this for you, people are watching you and people are watching me. And I realize that I can't keep going in the way that I am going. That something has to change in me, and no matter how dry my life can feel sometimes, the Holy Ghost can intervene. I'm sorry. I don't know. Oh, God. I just feel like
Lord's wanting to make a change, not just in my life, but somebody else's life here. God's making an opportunity for us to change, to waver the storms in our life. I really feel like the Lord is making a change in the body. We can see it. With the unique circumstance that happened in Tyler, I don't think that was just coincidence that the same day that the police come for this little boy, for his sister's murder, that we're having the entire body of ministers, over 300 ministers, of men of power, held powerless by our government, and having to stand by and watch. I think it's a time to consider. I really feel like the Holy Ghost is trying to lift up something to a place where we can take those little bitty baby steps into a deep, deep step. Feel something that, not just have a new experience like a deeper drop in the bucket that we've heard of, but have something our own. I know it's a time for change, and it's time for a time to work together. I don't want to take away from anything that I've learned, but I also have to realize, just like when I go to school, that all the things that I've learned is just something to transition into. Just like Brother Smith was talking about, you can take Nathaniah into the next grade level, or I can go into the next level of college, but I can't get there unless I take the things that I've learned and be able to apply it to the new things that God's trying to show me to learn. So as we read our Bibles, it applies to the same way. No matter what I'm reading, it always seems like the Bible is such a unique book, because everything that a story that was earlier in the Bible, it seems to connect somehow. Just like Brother Durham was talking about the serpent up on the that Moses held up, that Jesus was the same depiction, being healed. I want to be healed. I want to be able to look up at that cross and be able to have a transformation in my life. I've spent several hours and days where I would just sit on a little country road just talking to the Lord, just looking up at the stars and just trying to realize how deep my Creator cares for me. To have that kind of understanding is very difficult. You know, you can know people that you truly love and care for. I love my wife, and would do really anything. I was talking to Kyle. You know, he was talking about how his life really changed. How your mindset when you have a child, you would do anything for that child. You would fight an entire army all by yourself to defend that child from being hurt. And I was thinking about the magnitude that God Almighty did for us with His Son Jesus Christ. That He cared enough to let His Son go down to this earth and redeem us, and to be able to, and Jesus wanted us to be able to have that same kind of communication that He had, that He loved us. Jesus, He considers us His family, and I'm thankful that He does, because He set up a future way for me to die out to my flesh, to realize that I don't have to. I won't have to continue on the way that I am, that everything that I do is not about myself. I don't have to look out for number one anymore. I was thinking about all the responsibilities of just becoming an adult and watching my brother, Nathan, grow up, coming into high school, learning about responsibilities and learning how to manage money. I was talking to him on the way home yesterday about personal finances and, you know, managing your life, and just being able to grow to a place where of accountability, to where I'm reading my Bible every day, and that I call my friends and let them know, and or the youth in my church, or you know, different elders, you know, maybe you need to call Brother Graham and let him know how much I love him, and let him know that I was thinking about him, Brother D'Angelo, and just different ones, just to become a place of accountability and be able to grow on that faith, because you can be faithless, you can be without faith. I can see where in my life that I may have failed some of those areas where I go into something and I've been known to jump from hobby to hobby, so to speak, where, you know, you get into you get in this hunting phase, or you get into a fishing phase, or you get to playing basketball all the time, or, you know, or take my wife on different little adventures here and there, and I'm sure she's not going to want to discontinue that hobby, but you can get on different, I can get on different hobbies and jump around, but really this is not, I was thinking about whenever we were in, when we were in Houston with her dad, this is not something that I just do every Sunday, this is, or three times a week, my life is based on this. This is what my life is based on, not just this actual building, but a relationship with God, because it really doesn't come down to a religious experience. I had so many friends in school and so many coworkers that denied Christianity because they just thought it was a religious experience, but they didn't see it. They didn't see what really was here. People that come in and experience this group of people, we've come to realize that the only way that we can overcome sin, that's our true hope, of not just having a hope that if I believe in what Jesus Christ did on the cross, that I get to spend eternity with our Creator, but really Jesus came to do so much more than that, but to have a personal relationship with me so that I can die out to myself and show you, each and every one of you, how much I truly love you, and not just to be able to, you know, my wife, I think she's getting closer and closer to perfection every day because she had to put up with me. She had to see my flaws, and she had to work on my flesh. I get to really see the kind of character because I see how it affects her. She really knows who I am. And Jesus, you know, we are truly naked to him. There's nothing that I could hide. I can try and put on the suit all day long and let God, and oh God, I've got on my righteous suit. You can't see my sins. Sorry, he's like Superman. He sees right through you, right through. I know this is kind of a sparkly tie, but he can see right through it. He can. I'm penetrable, and I'm vulnerable. And the more that I realize now about this faith, these little steps, I realize the more that I realize that, all right, God, here's the room that I don't want to go into, but you're already in there. He's already behind the door. He's in front of the door, and he's in there. My decision is whether or not I got to acknowledge his presence in there. And I just really want to give God the glory for allowing me to see that he's already in. I've accepted him. I have faith that he is going to work a change in me. I just have to go there with him. And I'm going to hold his hand, and I want to just let you know that the Lord can do that for you as well. And I'm so thankful to be a part of this group of people. I know we're changing. I know we're going into something new. We've come a long way from who we were and who we thought we could be. Now we can be something greater through the help of Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost. And I just wanted to let you know how much I love every one of y'all and for making us feel at home. I really do feel like this is my home. I've felt like a traveling man for so long. For the past 3 years, I felt like the Lord was really just kind of not making me feel too comfortable. But I can't help but think back about what that youth meeting was like that we had the last youth meeting that we had here, about that man who stood up. You remember some of y'all who were here, he said, claim your seat. Do you guys remember that sermon, that claim your seat? I claim my seat here in Little Rock, and no one else is going to take that away from me. And I challenge y'all to do the same. Any time a big storm can come sweep over and knock over some trees, but I want to be that flexible tree that can bend and move in the storm and not be rooted up. I want to have my roots deep here. And I thank y'all for allowing us to do that, for y'all giving us room to grow. And I don't want to be so clingy that I have to have it all for myself. I want to let y'all grow too. And if there's anything that I can do to be a part, I want to be able to pay attention. You know, a lot of times I'll be in the house, and you know, the trash could start to smell a little bit, but I got to pay attention to that. I got to see that it needs tender care, just like some of these out here today. that are being sick, I gotta pay attention to those people because they need my prayer, they need my love, they need my hand extended out to them. Just like Brother Francisco, he doesn't always be here, but he's on Facebook. He lives right down the road here. He's accessible, and I can see him. I can touch him. I can talk to him. And so so really, it's all about to me is being full of faith and being able to see the areas. God can make those. If you're not aware of how much faith that you have or don't have, ask God to help you, because I know He can do it. He's made that aware in my life. And if there was times where I didn't feel like I could participate, or if I felt like there was an area lacking in my life, I didn't have a passion. You know, a lot of times your passion can get dwindled. You can be at first, you can be really, really ready to go. Somebody can get you excited about something, serving God, but you can lose that fire after a little while because you realize, hey, you know, they were holding my hand for a little while, but now I got to do it by myself. Uh-oh, that's a scary. you can step out there a little bit and you're by yourself. But really, that's not the case here. You do get a little bit of nurturing at first, a little bit of a push. But really, it comes down to the point of that personal relationship of how far I'm willing to let myself go and be fully intertwined with the Lord. And I just wanted to let y'all know how much I appreciate y'all for being diligent with me and having patience with my spirit and letting me help you reach perfection, so to speak. But I just wanted to let y'all know how much I'm here to worship with you. I don't want to be a bump on the log and not worship and raise my hands and pray. When y'all get up here to pray, I want to pray. And I don't have the best dance moves, but I can still get up and do a little something. You know, I got the ability to, even though Brittany's dad took me to the gym and now I'm sore. This 40-year-old man put me to shame. I'm 23. He put me to shame. But when y'all get out here and the spirit moves and we if y'all don't feel like dancing, well, I'm gonna get out here and dance with you. Kind of give you a little bit of a push if you don't like it. I'm sorry. Spirits, when you get the spirit on it, sometimes you just can't contain it. If you feel like you need to run around the church and you know, get something out and let it go. You know, some of these kids, when they get frustrated, you know, their parents don't just let them have a fit in their flesh. Well, let yourself have a Holy Ghost fit. The Lord wants you to have those kind of fits. But I just want to just watch the Spirit today and just let the Lord bless you. And I'm thankful to be here tonight.
I just thank the Lord that I can come and feel the presence of God with people anywhere. You know, God is an awesome God. I don't care where you go, He goes with you, doesn't He? If y'all feel like it, you want to stand and hold hands while we do this song together, because unity is God, isn't it? So join with me, and we've got the power, and it's all because of Him.
Yes.
Take my hand, let's agree together that all our enemies will crumble at our feet. 'Cause whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And at the name of Jesus, Satan has Lord, no Satan tried to stop us, but the Church of Jesus is still alive, and like a mighty army, we keep marching onward, winning every battle with the Lord on our side.
Glory. Thank you, Lord.
We've got the power in the name of Jesus. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Though Satan rages, we will not be defeated, 'cause we've got the power in the name.
Well, I'd like to say that I love the Lord. And as they were talking about these things we're stepping into, and some of you may be new getting into this work with God, but just be patient. Learn that. You know, the children of Israel had a problem at one time. And in the book of 1 Samuel, we find that they took the Ark of the Covenant into one of their battles. And the enemy ended up defeating them and taking the Ark away from them. You know the story how the Philistines took the Ark of the Covenant and put it with their god, Dagon. The next morning, they had problems with it. So they began to think, well, it was just an accident. We stood him back up and thought everything would be fine. Next day, it was a greater problem. And everywhere that the Ark of the Covenant went, the hand of God was against them. And problems came and death came. And one day the Philistines made a decision. They said, we're going to find out if this is the God of Israel. I want to tell you, the God we serve is bigger than anything you can imagine. He is a planet and a star breather. He breathed out every planet we've got in our solar system, and yet he knows the very hairs on your head. He knows everything about you. So the Philistines got together and they made him a new cart, and they put the ark on it, and they took two mama cows away from their babies that never had a yoke come upon them. Have you ever had somebody that you wanted to make them do what you wanted them to? How many times have you had somebody you thought, oh, I need to correct them. They need to learn how to do this or do that. If I could make my wife do what I want her to do, if my wife could make me do what she wants me to do, we've all got somebody else we want to try to make a change in. What we need to do is start looking at ourselves. If you want somebody else to change, change you. That's where it starts. Starts within us. Well, the children of Israel were sitting down there at the Bethshemah waiting to see what was going on. And the Philistines put the ark on this cart, put these mama cows to the cart, and tied the babies up. The Bible said that the cows went down the road lowing. Can you imagine what sin is trying to do to us? It's saying, please don't leave me. Please hang on to me a little longer. Oh, you don't want to give this up. You don't want to give that up. You got more things you want to do in this world. But God's got a people that He's chosen. And He's calling them out today. We've got a world around us that is a mess. It's in a mess. And it's getting messier, if I can use that term. And I know our government's got a problem. They tell me you're not supposed to get up in the pulpit and say anything about the government. I'm not in the pulpit. I guess I can say what I want to, huh? Amen? But I know that our God is bigger than all the problems we've got. And no matter what God allows us to have in our leadership, they're there because we need it. We need to learn some things. We need to grow up. We need to realize we have the power more than anybody in this world. We've got more power than the government has. We just don't exercise it right. We don't realize what God's given us. The Holy Ghost is the most powerful tool in our lives we'll ever have. He's a corrector. He's a teacher. He's a comforter. He's a guide. And He will carry us through all of the trials we ever come through. He will carry us through the storm. And I want to tell you, when you come out on the other side, you may feel like you've been pulled through hell on the devil's little red wagon. But when you come out on the other side, honey, you're going to know you got the victory and the power of God's still there. He has not changed. He said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I change not. We try to change God. You ever notice that? We say, now God, if you'll do this, if you'll do that, I want to tell you something, sister. He don't always come in 30 days. Sometimes He wants to wait 60. Huh? Just to make sure that you know it was Him. He was 4 days late, according to Martha and Mary. But He was right on time. And He came just in the midst of the storm. And He rebuked the storm and brought life out of death. But He asked Martha a question. He said, do you believe your brother can live again? She said, yes, at the resurrection. I got news for you. The resurrection had showed up. The resurrector was there. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I want to tell you, we were raised from death to life when we got saved. Some of us still act like we're still in death, moping around like Christians have been dipped in lemon juice. Ooh, everything just nothing the way I want it to. Everybody got to whine about a little something. Y'all shouldn't have handed me this mic. I'm telling you, brother. Don't get me stirred up. If I wasn't nervous, can't you tell how nervous I am? Those Philistines knew that they had a problem and they had to do something about it. Have you ever had a problem and you knew you had to do something about it? And we put the challenge to God, and God always comes through. There's never been a challenge too big. Three Hebrew boys were sent in the fiery furnace, and it looked like death was imminent. There was no chance of them ever surviving. But the king looked back and he said, did not I throw three men bound in the fire, but I see four walking loose in the midst of the fire. I want to tell you, there may be a three that came out, but my God is a consuming fire. He's still in the fire, honey, and He's still purging those that need to be purged. I got family I want to see saved. Sometimes our prayer request is not enough. Don't get mad at me now. Listen, sometimes we need to put legs on them prayer requests. Somebody's got somebody else they need to get prayed for or sick or healed or whatever, and somebody needs to go do it. We sit around the church too long just accepting the prayer request of somebody, and we let it go at that. Somebody has not been as active as they ought to be. Somebody needs to say, God, I need that altar today. I can get on my knees You see, when the children of Israel saw that ark coming on that cart, they took that thing and they broke that cart up and they made an altar and they killed the cows and offered a sacrifice. I'll tell you, it's time that the cows come home. They've been out there wandering around too long. We need the cows to come to the house to show us where we're supposed to be. And I know the problems that they had. And if I had time to go on, I'd tell you, I'd take you plumb up to Jerusalem and show you where Jerusalem's at and show you where we're supposed to be and what we need to be doing for God today, more than we've ever done. It's not enough for us to just stand around here and to have a simple prayer about it. We got to go to work for God. It's not enough for us to have a request for our government to be healed. We need to go to work for God and really put our prayer to work for God about it. We need to do something. We need to stir this place up. Little Rock needs to come alive and say there's a church in this town where you can get whatever you need and nobody has respect to person. Nobody cares who you are, what you have or what you don't have. But the love of God is so powerful. It just draws you in until we can't house them in this little small building. Until the church quits saying, oh, there's got to be 100 of us in this city. Or 1,000 of us. We need to find that unity. That song means more to me than what it does most people. We've got the power. What are we going to do with it? Sit on it? Talk about it? Pass it around? Let somebody else have it tomorrow? Next week you got it. Next week you can have it. I just get tired of it. I just can't go on no more. Lord, you're going to have to let Brother So-and-so handle it because I can't. Brother Weiner. Oh, Edgar. He said folks teased him about that. I don't think he is one. I think he's a man that's true to God. I tell you, I felt that bond and that spirit this morning when we began to talk. But when my mind went back into the Word and I began to see the children of Israel and the things that they were going through and the problems that they had sacrificed and they had lost the best thing they ever had, church, don't ever lose that connection with God. Don't let that fire go out. Don't lose that ark. Don't lose that power that you've got. Hang on to it more than ever. Stir it. Sometimes Paul told Timothy, you need to stir up that gift that's in you. Get it stirred up. Get the power of God moving. Somebody needs to move a little bit. The brother said he might not know the moves, but he's willing to shake his leg a little bit. I want to tell you, Elvis stirred him up because he shook a leg. If Elvis could do it, we surely can do it. My goodness, where's the moves at? Where's the power at? Where's the virtue at? Where's the knowledge at? Where's the faith at? We've got a long way to go, church. And I want to tell you, some folks say we've got a short time to get there. You show me where we got a short time. Nobody knows anything about any timetables. We need to get away from them timetables and start working as if we had 1,000 years left. Come on. We got souls out there that are lost. Some of you whining about your family need to get saved. Come on now. Oh, you can't say we whining. That's what we do. I do it. You do it. Oh, I want my loved ones saved. That's what we do. Don't we all? Which one of you don't? Well, if you don't, you got them all saved already. Huh? Come on. It's about me and mine. I want them saved. I want something done. The children of Israel are whining. We lost the Ark of the Covenant. Oh, what are we going to do? We lost a little power. Got to find our connection. God's still out there working. He's still out there doing something. But it's up to us to take the initiative to say, yes, I believe it can be done. Let's go together. If one of you can't do it, find somebody else that's a good prayer warrior. Don't find you a whiner. Come on now. I'm not talking about you, brother. You got a good sense of humor, huh? I know I'm new here, and y'all's thinking, who is this guy? I'm telling you, somebody needs to shut him up and set him down. My wife's already pulled on my coat about 4 times. I didn't say nothing while she was singing. I didn't tell her to shut up and sit down. The children of Israel needed reviving. And reviving came because those that had what belonged to God were misusing it. Are you hearing me? If you got what God's given you and you're misusing it, you can expect the next generation to come along with mohawks and green hair and earrings hanging to the ground. And they're going to have the power of God while we sit around and say, oh, who are they? We're supposed to be doing that. If we don't get in tune with God like we're supposed to, the world is going to reach out to somebody that's got it. And it don't care what they look like or who they are. Come on now. Go to California out there and preach to them folks on the beach when they come to church in a bikini. Oh, we couldn't have that. They need Jesus too. There's punks and skunks out there that need Jesus, and somebody's got to go get them. And drunks and everybody else. Jesus went to the prostitutes and began to bring them in and said, this is my church. We got a church out there that's lost. And they don't know they're supposed to be a part of this. And they're dying. I preached a funeral just a few days ago of a 25-year-old man. 25-year-old. Somebody said, oh, what happened to him? Where was his life? He was right on the brink of making changes and getting back where he's supposed to be. He'd called his dad and said, I want to come home, Dad. I want to make things right. Dad said, come on. He'd done moved most of his stuff in and had went back and was coming from Heber Springs back down to where his dad lived on the road. And he drifted off the road, come back across the highway, hit a trailer. A truck hit him in the passenger side, knocked him off down the gully, and killed him instantly. And his dad called me crying, my son is dead. And the first thing I heard was David crying for Absalom. Oh, Absalom, Absalom, my son Absalom. I would to God that it had been me instead of you. And I felt the pain that he had. And I've never lost a child, and I pray God I don't have to experience that. I don't know what that feels like to lose a child. Some of you may. But it's a horrible, horrible thing to minister to a man, him sitting there in front of you, and just lost his 25-year-old boy and not understanding why. Why? But that man got up in the funeral and done something most folks won't do. He stood in that funeral and he said, I want to say to all of you, I thank God for 25 years of David Earl's life. And he said it again. He said, listen to me. I thank God for 25 years. Most of us would have said, oh, not me. I'm not saying that. I want something better. Whiny, whiny. You know, we get in that pity pool. We need to get out of it. You need to find somebody to pull you out of that mess and get back a hold to God like you've never been. I don't know who I'm talking to, but to somebody here that's fighting a battle that needs a new spark. You need the power of God. You need the Holy Ghost in you like never before. You need to yield to Him and say, God, here I am. Here I am, Lord. Use me, God. You need to find a way to rekindle that fire. Get it going. There's nothing worse than a burned out fire. It shows to everyone that your fire's burned out. And if it's been a long time since your fire's been sparking pretty high, you need to start fanning the coals and finding a way to get that fire going again. God's got to work for somebody here that's sitting on it. You're sitting on it and you're waiting. I see through my spirit that some have come back home today. Somebody slipped back in. Been out a while, but you slip back in. But there's more you need and more you want. Don't wait. Don't wait. If you have to run to the altar, go and find what God's got for you. They'll come and pray with you. You ain't got to worry about disturbing the service. I don't think there is an order. Huh? Oh, y'all are looking at me like, whoa, don't get too far out of hand. I want to tell you, when it comes to souls, there is no order. We need them first. They need to be here. They need to find what they need from God. God bless you. I pray that God's anointing would be so strong upon you and that His power would move in your lives, that you would change this world. It needs changing. It needs help. God bless you.
Sounds like this brother here knows what it's like to be a prayer warrior. I think the Lord needs to hear our cry today.
So I I'll stop telling you, Lord, how big my storm is, and tell my storm how big you are. My God is great,
my God
is mighty, He is greater than anything. So I'll stop telling you, Lord, how big my storm is, and tell my storm how big you are.
Oh, my God is great,
my God is mighty,
oh,
He is greater than anything. So I'll stop telling you, Lord, how big my storm is,
and tell my
storm how big you are. Oh, my God is great,
my
God is mighty, He is greater than anything. So I'll stop telling you, Lord, how big my storm is, and tell my storm how big you are, Lord. Oh, hallelujah.
My God is great. Oh. My God is mighty.
Oh,
He is greater than anything. Oh, so I'll stop telling you, Lord, how big my storm is, and tell my storm how big you are. My God is great. My God is mighty. Yes, He is greater than anything.
So I'll stop telling you, Lord, how big my storm is, and tell my storm how big you are.
My God is
great, my God is mighty, He is greater than anything. So I'll stop telling you, Lord, how big my storm is, and tell my storm how big you are.
Oh,
my God is great,
my God is
mighty, He is greater than anything. Oh, I'll stop telling you, Lord, how big my storm is, and tell my storm how big you are. Oh, my God is great, my God is mighty, He is greater than anything. So I'll stop telling you, Lord, how big my storm is, and tell my storm how big you are. My God is great, my God is mighty, He is greater than anything. So I'll stop telling you, Lord, how big my storm is, and tell my storm how big you are. My God is great,
my
God is mighty, He is greater than anything. So I'll stop telling you, Lord, how big my storm is, and tell my storm how big you are. My God is great, my God is mighty, He is greater than anything. So I'll stop telling you, Lord, how big my storm is, and tell my storm how big you are.
My God is great,
my God is mighty,
oh,
He is greater than anything. So I'll stop telling you, Lord, how big my storm is, and tell my storm how big you are. Lord, how big my storm is, and tell my storm how big you are.
My storm, how big you are. My God.
Hallelujah. Increase your faith. How this doesn't increase your faith. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't know what will. I'm thankful for our visitors today and the words they and the song. And we'll ask them to stay for dinner. And we're fixing to eat us some dinner in the natural. Been eating a good spiritual food and the manna today. We'll let our elders and visitors, make sure the visitors get down in the front of the line if they're staying. And our elders head down there. But before we eat, let's give him a praise one more time. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise your wonderful name. Thank you, Lord. We believe you, Lord. You're a powerful, mighty God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. You're dismissed. Brother McGowan, or we have a band at 4 o'clock. The band practice will be at 4 o'clock. Evening service, it starts at 5 o'clock.